Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
What's your favorite book? You got that dog-eared copy somewhere around the house? Do you have it on your iPad or phone or somewhere digitally too? Because if you do, you might turn to your favorite page or passage and see something different, new words, new sentences. That's because digital copyright holders can change the content of a digital book. The issue recently came to light after the digital publisher of Roald Dahl books started changing some of the language in UK versions. Now, our focus is not on the Dahl books or whether you agree with specific language changes. It's this question of the right to make those changes in an artistic work in the first place, and what such rights could mean in an increasingly digital world. Boston Globe technology writer Hiawatha Bray has been writing about this, joins us now for Tech Talk. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much. And I love the way you put that. That was a beautiful introduction, because that's exactly what's on the table here.
So pick it up, Hiawatha, and take it away.
Well, no, you see, the funny thing about it is that this is a whole controversy over who actually owns the ideas in a book. And you would think it had almost been settled because it's actually back, I think, in the early 20th century, there was actually a Supreme Court case over this because book publishers in the United States were trying to stop people from selling used books. They were saying, those are our books. We have the copyright. You can't do it. The Supreme Court said, no, no, no. You can control the content of the book, but the physical object itself belongs to who bought it, which is why you have used bookstores. You can go and you can sell a copy of your book, but you do not own the stuff in the book, the actual ideas, expressions. That's copyrighted. You can't make a copy of it and sell it yourself.
But
everything starts to change when books become digital. That's what changes the whole thing. Because first of all, when they started selling digital books, like with Amazon Kindle, they built into the system what's known as digital rights management. Because, you know, the major problem with digital books is you can make infinite copies of them, right? Any place where there's digital books, there are rules and actually built into the software in place to limit what you can do with them. Like public libraries. Have you ever noticed you can now rent ebooks from your public library?
Yes.
But under a contract that requires them to only issue so many books, it can only be viewed on an app that has it locked in, so you can't make a copy of it, you can't cut and paste, you can't do anything. They control that digital book. And now we're raising an entirely new level of concern, because if they can control the digital book, they can also control what's in it. And that means that it turns out a publisher or a copyright holder of a digital book can actually make post-publication changes in the book. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it, and they have the right to do it.
So in this world where more and more all of our art is digital, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about NFTs and music, and are we seeing a world where there's a difference between, you know, the artists? Let's go back in time, right? Imagine John Lennon writes Imagine, right? Mm-hmm. And now we fast forward, it's on Spotify. I don't even know anymore who owns the digital right to the Beatles, but mm-hmm. somebody does.
Right.
They could literally change the lyrics of Imagine, or is this only books right now? I mean, what kind of rabbit hole are we talking about?
Well, obviously, in theory, they could change the music. I mean, it would be very hard to do. You'd have to figure out some way to do it and make it sound like John Lennon and all. In that case, I think people would freak. I just don't know. I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't thought about it. I can't imagine anyone sitting still for changing a familiar song. And we've already seen what happens when you change a familiar book. In the case of a book, though, it's going to be subtler. If somebody changes the melody to Imagine, a song which, by the way, I really don't like. I've never liked that song, but never mind.
Oh, and I should note, by the way, that one technically might not have been the Beatles. That might have just been John Lennon. Somebody out there is going crazy I equated
whatever.
Those.
I am not a fan of that song. Never mind. But in any case, it would be immediately obvious. That song's entirely different. But if you change a few words of a book, it probably isn't going to set off as many alarm bells. What happened in this case was they told everybody that they were doing it, and fans of one of the best-selling children's authors on earth were furious about it. And I had to add this to my story in the last minute, because here's a fascinating illustration of how crazy it is. R.L. Stein, the creator of Goosebumps, the hugely successful horror stories for children, it turns out that his publisher, Scholastic, started making changes in his books back in 2018. And this week, he responded with stunned outrage on Twitter, because he said he never even knew they'd done it.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote the books didn't know he'd done it. I don't know who owns the rights. Does Scholastic own the rights to those books? If so, they can legally do it. If they don't, they might be in legal trouble. So, but the point is, they can do that, and then you open your ebook reader, and the book's been changed. And they can do that.
So, Hiawatha, and first, the team wants to let me know, not the Beatles. It was with the Plastic Ono Band. Thank you very much. I want to... So, we have talked at other times about what happens when we take something, a thing, and we make it digital, right? It goes into the cloud or the ether. I wonder if you think about what we see in the future in the value of print, of books, if in fact they become sort of, and I'm overstating this for on purpose, the sacred original text, right?
Well, I think what you're going to see is an increase in the respect and regard for printed books. Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting?
I think that's going to happen. And it's not just books. I know, this is just coincidental. Just happened today to be reading a piece about the, I think what we might see is a growing backlash against the move to digital payments and digital currency. The United States is busily, like a lot of other countries, looking at the idea of doing central bank digital currency, where all our money would be totally digital. And everybody who's looking at this is starting to say, you know what that really means, right? That means the money all ultimately belongs to the government. And they can do just what they do with ebooks. They can go in and take charge of your money. They could actually do things like monitoring everything you buy. I mean, there's a big fuss. This is not quite the same thing, but Discover, the credit card company, recently said, we're going to track everybody who buys guns using a Discover card. And gun owners are furious about it. I don't care what you think about guns. They have a point. The idea that the banking system are going to now monitor your particular choice of what you buy. What happens if you buy abortion pills? What happens if you buy booze? What happens if you buy weed? Do we want the financial system tracking that?
So it's but a push to go back off the grid with
exactly.
cash.
And so more and more people are looking at that and saying, we got to get back to paper. We need to spend paper money or else we're going to have digital currencies being used as a constant social control means. And this digital book thing is just another version of that, perhaps a little less menacing, but wildly disturbing.
So this is Tech Talk with Hiawatha Bray here on Radio Boston. In a second, we're going to change the subject, but one more question on this, because, of course, you've got my, as you always do, my brain's like, running and thinking about all of this.
Sure.
So what we are looking at is the potential of kind of a bifurcation and a push for the off-the-grid, untrackable, unchangeable stuff.
Right, that's right.
Versus the on-the-grid,
paper
very
money,
fungible
printed
stuff.
Books, even vinyl. Look at the surge of interest in vinyl records.
Yeah.
It's mainly auditory, you know, because they think it has better audio quality, but I think this might further push that along. People are going to want the real original deal. Before we leave the subject, though, we've got to mention an all-important fact. Turns out there is a defense against this, and I didn't even know you could do this with Kindle books. If you have Amazon Kindle, you can set your device and say, don't change my book.
Really? This is my download. Don't touch
it. That's right. There is actually a setting that says, do not install automatic updates. Automatic updates. Because it turns out that there have probably been all kinds of books you own that have been updated, but usually it's just fixing typos or something like that. There was a 2020 novel, science fiction novel, where somebody was upset about the way dreadlocks were described, and the author voluntarily said, I'm going to take that out, and she changed her book, and everybody's book copy got changed. It's disturbing, but at least it was really the author saying, I've changed my mind, I'm
not going
to do that.
This is what I want. That's right.
Right, exactly. So that's already happening. If you don't want it to happen, find the automatic updates feature, turn it off, and your books won't be fiddled with anymore.
All right, so I'm going to pivot now in our remaining time, Hiawatha, because when you came in today, you gave me a heads up that something that we've talked about quite a bit, which is the Massachusetts Right to Repair Law, which has to do with repair information that's digitally produced by the car and can be transmitted and has been owned by the auto manufacturer. You've got an update on that, so take us
there. Update was that in 2020, Massachusetts residents, by a just gigantic margin, passed a referendum supporting a law that would require automakers to make this digital data available to the car owner and to anybody the car owner wanted to have access
to.
So
their local mechanics.
Independent auto mechanics, exactly. That law has been tied up in court ever since. Now, Attorney General Maura Healey agreed not to try to enforce the law, hoping that a federal judge would finally resolve this issue. This thing has been in court since summer of 2021. Nothing has come out of it. And our new Attorney General Campbell has said, Forget this. It's over. I am going to start enforcing this law as of June the 1st. Automakers are going to have to start making this data available on their cars as of June the 1st this year. We don't know how the automakers are going to react. They refuse to comment on it. The people who support the law are just jumping up and down with glee. They're saying, hip, hip, hooray. It's going to raise all kinds of problems. And the automakers made this point in a court filing back in October. There is no system in place to do what the law requires. Nobody's built it yet. It would require the setting up of a whole separate new system to allow a car repair shop to plug into a single centralized source and get telematic data about every new car on the road.
So explain briefly, what is telematic data?
It's just basically all the diagnostic information about what's going on in your car, but now made available wirelessly and electronically so they can be transmitted directly to the car manufacturer, to a mechanic shop, anything. Having telematic access to this data would give the manufacturers a huge advantage because, for example, you're driving down the road, something goes wrong with your car, they know it before you do. It's being transmitted electronically to the manufacturer. These guys want to be competitive. They want to say, all right, suppose you want it transmitted to Midas or Jiffy Lube or somebody like that. We want a system whereby a customer could choose to share that information with us. So we get to call the customer and we get the business. It's not a bad idea. I mean, you understand it. Most people are in favor of it.
But she's going to start enforcing this.
Yeah.
June 1st.
June 1st.
But there's not actually any way to do it.
Nobody's built the system. Everybody agrees that the system for actually doing it does not exist. The National Highway, the federal agency, back when this law was being debated, pointed out that doing this could raise huge cybersecurity problems. It has to be done just right or people could end up hacking our cars. So it really is going to require a long-term strategy to figure out how to do it. And nobody's been trying to do it.
I think you're talking about the National Transportation and Highway Safety.
The National Highway Transportation
there
Safety.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah, and NHTSA.
All right. Now that we've got that right, I think we should just call it. Hiawatha Bray, Boston Globe technology writer, comes in regularly every couple of weeks to give us tech talk. You bent our brains in a whole bunch of different ways today.
Isn't it awful?
No, it's always fantastic. I always leave Hiawatha, and for the next 12 hours, I'm like, oh my gosh, and what about?
Yep.
Listen, thank you so much.
My brain hurts. Okay.